You could be anywhere doing anything, but you're hanging out with us. And we appreciate that. So wherever you're listening and however you're listening, ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for listening. And with that being said, welcome to another exciting episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in tacos, S as in sangria, M as in margaritas. Kennedy Miller.
Yes, sir.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
Find me on Twitter at underscore Kennedy Miller underscore. Again, underscore Kennedy, as in the former president, John F., and the former wrestler, Mr. Kennedy. Kennedy Miller underscore.
All right. All right. Jumping right into things. Kennedy, the NBA season just ended. It felt like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And it feels like because of COVID, because of everything that happened, because of the season delays, that the entire offseason is going to be condensed into like a 2 week period, right? So the moratorium ended this morning on Monday at noon. The draft is this coming Wednesday, the 18th, and free agency opens on the 20th. So we got a lot going on, and no news bigger, no rumors bigger, no reports bigger than the fact that it appears that the Houston Rockets and James Harden have come to the end of the road. All the reports from Woj, Ramona Shelburne, Mark Stein, and others say James Harden has requested a trade from the Houston Rockets, and he wants to go to the Brooklyn Nets. He declined a 2-year, $103 million extension today. That would have made him the first player in NBA history to make $50 million per year. And he wants to go to the Brooklyn Nets and join Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant to form a super team. Kennedy Miller, is it just me, or is this one of the worst ideas you've ever heard?
You know, as an NBA fan, I would love to see it, just to see how these three would coexist. But I kind of agree with you. I'm not losing any sleep if I'm, you know, like as a Lakers fan, I don't worry about them, because you have to think about when you've looked historically at big threes, who there's always been one person in a big three. You look at with the big three Celtics, you know, KG took a step back, and with the Heat, Chris Bosh took a step back. With the Warriors, obviously Clay took a step back from what he was. Who are you going to ask to take a step back out of Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving? And what does that step back entail? Because these guys, all that I mentioned, Kevin Garnett won a Defensive Player of the Year. Chris Bosh turned into a better defender and a spot-up shooter. Klay Thompson already was kind of the best perimeter defender outside of Andre Iguodala on that team. So there were other ways to keep them involved. None of these guys are great, quote-unquote, defenders. You know, Kevin Durant's pretty good, but we are still yet to see how he looks coming off a torn Achilles. James Harden has tools to be a great defender. He's put some stretches together, but we've all seen the YouTube highlight of his lack of effort on defense. And then Kyrie Irving is so-so. It comes and goes. So who's going to take the back seat? And there's only one basketball. And it's going to be interesting because, you know, this whole thing, Steve Nash, first-time head coach, but Mike D'Antoni's on the bench. Amar Stoudemire's on the bench. So are we going to play a Mike D'Antoni style of basketball? You know, and if so, who's going to be the primary ball handler? Because what we've talked about on this show for years, how many times you told me Mike D'Antoni has no plan B. So how are they going to play? I feel like they'll be fun to watch. They'll be exciting. They'll make the league great. But if you're really saying that this team should be the championship favorites if they land James Harden, I would totally disagree right now.
You know, this seems like one of those ideas somebody came up with on like 2K, right? Like, wouldn't it be cool if I put James Harden on the Nets? That's how I feel like this thing is going to look. Because, like you mentioned, Steve Nash. And for me, that's one of the biggest question marks. Because none of us know if Steve Nash can coach. None of us know if Steve Nash knows what he's doing. None of us know if Steve Nash can manage personalities. And that's a big thing that goes along with coaching, that goes along with being a supervisor at, you know, a McDonald's. anything. How do you manage people? And those three dudes are as, I don't want to say volatile, but as interesting of a group of people that you have to deal with. It's Kyrie. You never know what's on Kyrie Irving's mind, right?
Right.
Kevin Durant, wildly passive aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
James Harden, looking back at his track record, and some of his teammates, Dwight Howard, they had some issues, right? Chris Paul, they had some issues.
Yep.
James Harden and Kyrie Irving are both ball stoppers.
Yep.
Like, Kevin Durant can play off the ball because we know he doesn't need 20 seconds with the basketball to get to the bucket to make his play, to do what he needs to do. James Harden has gotten so used to, in the last 8 to 9 years, of monopolizing the basketball, he hasn't had to play off in years. How does that work for a guy like him who's been used to having the ball in his hands every time up the court? And if he doesn't have the ball in his hands, he's 25, 30 feet from the basket with his hands on his hips. Right? Like, how would that fly with a guy like Kevin Durant now? Right? Especially because they haven't played with each other in close to 10 years. Like, you know, whatever your relationship was with that person, you know, when you were younger, like, let's say you were college roommates with somebody, and then 5, 6, 7 years pass, you know, lives change, people change, people's worldviews change. Like, oh yeah, I can move in with him again. You know, that's my boy. You know what I mean? And then you 26, 27, like, yo, I can't stand this. Like, something like that may happen. Like, I can picture this being like a Cleveland Browns scenario playing out all over again.
Mm-hmm. You know, you brought up a great point. How does a guy like James Harden, who's had success personally, individual success, playing that style of basketball for close to, what, 10 years now?
Yeah.
What, and he's 32? How do you, you know, because this was my argument for, you know, when I used to critique Russell Westbrook. You know, like, how does a guy change the way that he's played past 30 with all the individual success that they've had? He's averaged, I think he averaged 35 points a game last year?
35, 36.
He's won an MVP. He's been in the top three of the MVP for like 3 or 4 straight years. He's won multiple scoring titles. So how do you tell that person you're not the number one option anymore? You won't hold the ball for 18 of the 24 seconds on the shot clock. You know, and I like James Harden. He's one of my favorite players. And I would be intrigued to see how they would play together, how they would mesh together. I think it would be a great brand of offensive basketball if they figured it out. I just don't think consistently they'll be able to do it. And then come playoff time, I think that if a team has more chemistry and trusts each other more, I think that they'll be knocked off. And then also, and one last point, what all are they giving up to get James Harden?
You know, that was a very good segue, because I was just about to get to that. What they could give up, right? Could give up. You know, of course, a lot of people are mentioning that, you know, they would want a Kyrie Irving or Kevin Durant back. You're not getting Kevin Durant back. Like, that's just not going to happen.
Yeah, of course.
Kyrie Irving and Russell Westbrook, that's another match made in hell.
Mm-hmm.
That's another, like, oh dear Lord. Like, that's going to be problems, trouble in paradise, right? If I was the Houston Rockets, I would try to get younger, cheaper, and get picks back. Because clearly the way you've been doing this for the past 5, 6, 7 years hasn't worked. This roster is old, this roster is expensive, and this roster clearly has a cap at the second round. So it's time to blow this joker up. They can blow it up without bottoming out, if that makes sense. Getting back what they can get back for those guys. So, like, what they could get back for James Harden to Brooklyn scenario without Brooklyn giving up Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving: Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, Jared Allen, Torian Prince, DeAndre Jordan. And then the Nets have all their picks. You can throw in 2 or 3 picks.
But if I can get a package that has LeVert and Dinwiddie, and then like a Jared Allen along with some picks, that's a deal that I wouldn't be opposed to making, because I'm more on your side. I give credit to the Rockets because when a lot of teams were saying we're going to tank, when Golden State was making this run, they went all in to compete. And I'm for it to some extent. I feel like they didn't know when their window closed. I feel like their window closed as soon as Chris Paul's hamstring went down. And so, you know, like as soon as his hamstring went down, I feel like their title window was basically done. And then they didn't want to pay Trevor Ariza. And so credit to them for trying to keep it open longer. But when you are in a championship window, you look at all the teams that LeBron has been on, you go over the cap space, you don't have any young guys, and you don't have any draft picks.
And go deep into the tax.
And so that's what happens when you're competing. And like I completely – and you can the organization is giving you signals. It's starting over. They hire a new general manager that in-house – so it's not somebody that's like a David Griffin or like a Daryl Morey that just left. They hire a first-year head coach, and now I've just got two stars that, you know, are we know that are going to bottom out in the second round of a West that's progressively getting better and healthier. So, you know, if I'm the Rockets organization, I'm trying to trade both. Give me all the young guys. Give me all the picks. And if I get these guys – will I be a contender? No. But I'm also not going to be, you know, as bad as those 76ers teams were that were in the process.
And, you know, I was just about to, like, allude to that, kind of what, like, Oklahoma City's doing. Houston can try to do something similar. So what Oklahoma City's done in the past, you could say 18 months, is that they have loaded up for the future while staying competitive in the present. Right. Because if we really think about it, the last time an Oklahoma City team has been horrible or been just damn near unwatchable was the year before Kevin Durant got drafted. Since then, they've been like pretty doggone good every year since. Yep. So they want to remain competitive, keep putting people in the seats and build toward the future. They have 17 first round picks from this year's draft to the 2026 draft. Now, I don't think Houston's going to be able to get 17 picks out of people. I just don't.
Right.
But they could do something similar, still put a competitive team out there on the floor as well.
Right.
Other trade packages for James Harden. This one might be a little bit out of left field. Boston.
Okay.
Boston. So the only thing that's like off limits is Jason Tatum. That's it. Boston has three first-round picks this year. They've got all their picks from next year's draft to 2027. And then Kemba Walker, Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Cantor. Some combination of Walker, Brown, Smart, and two picks.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going to get a superstar for a superstar. That's not how this thing works. If we remember, when San Antonio was able to make that Kawhi Leonard trade, you traded Kawhi Leonard. You got back DeMar DeRozan, Jakob Poeltl, and two first-round picks, right? You traded a superstar for a star, right? And that was about the best you're going to be able to, you know, best you're going to be able to do. I think a trade for Harden, for Kemba Walker, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and two or three first-round picks, that's about the best you can legitimately do.
Ideally, that would be the best trade that Houston can make. I just don't know if Boston would ever do a trade for a guy like James Harden. It just seems against their culture to have a guy like James Harden on their team. You know, I don't think Bostonians would take that. And even Danny Ainge, how many times we sat here and said Boston is rumored to trade for a player because they have the assets to? Literally every time a player has requested a trade over the years, besides Kyrie Irving, they've had the assets for Jimmy Butler, for Paul George, for Kawhi Leonard, for Anthony Davis. And for some reason, Danny Ainge never wants to use those picks. You know, I don't think they would use those picks on James. And I definitely don't think they would give up a guy like Jaylen Brown for James Harden, who's budding into a young star.
What you said about those picks was definitely correct, because My thought has always been, yo, man, you've been stockpiling these picks
for years
to turn it into something. And the best he's turned this into was Kyrie Irving, and he left after 2 years. Now, it didn't kill you because you still had a whole bunch of draft picks, but you're stockpiling these draft picks. You have to turn them into something. You have to turn it into a star. Right. What do you have all these picks for? You have to do something with them one of these days.
And it's not like it's just speculation. You know, like they came out and told us, we're getting these picks for a blockbuster move. You remember when they got rid of Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, we're not interested in rebuilding. They traded Doc Rivers for a first round pick. It's always been since 2013, 14-ish. We're trying to compile draft picks to get a superstar, to make a blockbuster deal. That has not been the case. It's been five guys. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. But it's been five guys, and they didn't pull the trigger on any of them.
I was going to say, speaking of blockbuster deals, I don't know if you could consider a Chris Paul trade a blockbuster anymore.
Look at that segue.
Hey, man, this is why they paid the big bucks, man. Chris Paul to Phoenix in exchange for Ricky Rubio, Kelly Oubre, a first-round pick, and two other dudes I've never heard of before.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kennedy Miller, what do you think this does for Phoenix's playoff chances, putting Booker, Aiden with the point guard, Chris Paul?
It makes them the fifth seed. No shame in it. When's the last time Phoenix has been in the playoffs? They need to make that. I think 2010.
I think it had
been
to be 10 that.
Years?
I think it's been a year because they swept the Spurs that year in the second round. I think it was 2010.
The Western Conference final year when they lost to Kobe and the Lakers on their back to back.
Yep, I think that was it.
It's been a decade, man, since they made the playoffs. They need to make the playoffs. Chris Paul will do that. Now, it's also something to note. This is a weird season. It's kind of a quick turnaround. Chris Paul is, you know, a little injury prone. You know, he changed his diet last year, but you're now asking, what, a 34, 35-year-old point guard on a limited offseason to come back and be your starting point guard? I think it's great for Devin Booker. I think DeAndre Ayton should be at the top of everybody's preseason most improved player list now that he's going to have Chris Paul, who made DeAndre Jordan look like he should deserve a max deal. If they were in the East, it might be different, but you're in the West. Even your division, not even just the Western Conference, but you're in a division with the Clippers and the Lakers and the Warriors. That's tough on its own right. You know, giving up Kelly Oubre, he's a good player, but, you know, they've needed a point guard for years. My only problem is I just wish Chris Paul was 8 years younger. Chris Paul is 8 years younger, then you got a big three for the future. But it's basically like you're putting a Band-Aid over a big scar because, I mean, how many times is Chris Paul going to have the year that he just had? Because we remember the year before that in Houston, the man looked like a shell of himself. He couldn't get past Kevon Looney. You know what I mean? And so they gave up these picks, and it was somebody arguing with me that they gave up too many picks. Three out of four picks are protected. So if Phoenix does, I mean, if they just go in the tank and Chris Paul's hamstrings don't hold up and they end up being a top 10 pick again, they get the picks back. So it's a little bit of insurance. You know, I think it'll work. I think they'll be a fun team to watch. I think they should be on everybody's league pass account. I think Chris can do some wonders for them because Devin Booker has just needed a point guard. He doesn't need to be a scorer and a playmaker. If he can just focus on scoring, he's going to show you why he's one of the best NBA players under 25.
Second big move, Dennis Schroeder going to Tinseltown in exchange for Danny Green, and I want to say another first-round pick.
Yep.
For Oklahoma City.
Well, it was time for Danny. It was time for Danny to get up out of there. You know, he fulfilled his role, but we know that he wasn't the same Danny Green from San Antonio. You know what I mean? Danny was a good player, but Dennis Schroeder is a guy that is the type of player that we needed last year. I think he can help us tremendously. He averaged 19 points a game last year, led the league in points off the bench, and he's a guy that we needed. We needed a third guy, which we thought would be Kyle Kuzma, which we were insanely incorrect about. we needed a third guy that when LeBron is out the game or Anthony Davis is out the game, who can handle the ball and take over some of the scoring load. And that's a guy like Dennis Schroeder. He's very quick. Like I said, he averaged 19 a game, shot the ball well. He can space the floor. So I think that I think it's a good move for the Lakers, man, because people got to realize this team last year was patched together pretty much really quickly because they were waiting on Kawhi, you know, to make that decision. They signed AD. You remember they had the extra cap space that for another max player. They were waiting on Kawhi. All these people signed, still waiting on Kawhi. He signs with the Clippers, and everybody's like, oh, well, they let all the good free agents go. So then, you know, we sign Avery Bradley and re-sign KCP, and we basically put the team in order for the last week or so of free agency. Now we don't have to wait on anybody. So now you get a free shot to get at some people. You don't have that much money, obviously, but you got a mid-level exception. So maybe you can get a guy like Serge Ibaka. Maybe you can get a guy like Gallinari. Who knows? But I think this team will be better if everybody stays healthy come playoff time than last year's team.
All righty. We have to leave it right there. But we will be right back with more of the Game Plan Podcast. Tobias Bass from the Opinionated Six Man Podcast will join us on the other side of the break. This is the Game Plan Podcast. Don't go anywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Follow the show on Twitter, Game Plan TSM. Kennedy Miller.
Yes, sir.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at underscore Kennedy Miller underscore. Again, underscore Kennedy. And then former president John F. and the former wrestler, Mr. Kennedy, underscore Kennedy Miller, underscore.
All right. Joining us here on the phone on the Game Plan Podcast is friend of the show. He's the host of the Opinionated Six Man Podcast. You can find that wherever you listen to your podcast. Our good friend, Tobias Bass. Tobias, how you doing over there today, my man?
Doing well, man. Just watching this terrible Bears offense against the Vikings right now.
I definitely understand that. Look, that's why we're recording, so I ain't got to watch that monstrosity of a football game. But James Harden has apparently requested a trade, saying that he wants to go to the Brooklyn Nets to join forces with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Tobias, what are your early thoughts on Brooklyn Nets super team, and what do you think that the Nets would have to give up to get him?
Early thoughts, I mean, I don't like it. They'll be fun on 2K, but I mean, I don't know what it'll be like in real life. Yeah, they're going to be super talented, but they're going to have little to no bench because I assume if they sign James Harden, there's no way you can re-sign Joe Harris unless it's for free. And then teams are going to throw $75, $80 million at him. So I don't think you're going to be able to re-sign him. So you're looking at a team with Harden, Kyrie, Durant, and DeAndre Jordan as your four pieces. At the five or at the four, at the three, you probably could start with Garrett Temple, maybe. The bench is going to be severely limited. What they would probably have to give up would have to be a pick for sure, Dinwiddie, LeVert, and Jared Allen and the pick. So those probably at the minimum those three players in the pick. I think so.
Tobias, we were talking about it earlier. I totally agree. That was my big question. I don't think it'll work from a basketball perspective from those three. Because every big three that's been assembled and been successful, somebody's had to take a back seat and be the defender or the spot up shooter. And I don't know who would take the back seat out of those three guys. And, you know, and the second point, which I think you made and the biggest one, who else is going to play on that team? Who else are they going to build a roster with?
Right.
You know, like I thought, like, you know, they reached out to Serge Ibaka, but I assume if they get Harden, there's no way they'll be able to pay Ibaka as well.
And, you know, I was also about to I just thought about it. Remember the way Golden State was able to afford Kevin Durant was because it was really a strike of good fortune because they had Klay Thompson on that cheap contract. Draymond Green was the only guy getting $25 million a year. Steph Curry's contract, they got him on a really bargain bin discount because Steph's ankles were messed up before that, right? And so they were able to just slide Harrison Barnes out and drop Durant's contract right in there.
What happened with them was they got lucky because of salary cap.
Yeah, the market went up too.
It was the highest it had bumped up like ever or in like 40 years. And they were able to, you know, finesse and have money left over to get him. Like what we just saw, that, you know, that literally never happened before. So they were just very fortunate. I mean, it's the Warriors, you know, they do things like that. Like, I don't know if you guys have heard, but they opened up a $250 million credit line against their arena. This is going towards this offseason, so they needed to sign a key free. It's not really key free agents this year. They needed to make like a trade or something like that to help them sign another marquee guy. They have the financials, you know, stability now to do that. They're really, really good with money. They have one of the best, you know, financial responsible owners in the league.
Yeah, because Draymond Green, sorry to interrupt you, Alex, but
you good? You know,
this was all planned out from a long time ago, because he went and talked about after they won the championship in 2015, so before the year that they went 73-9, the summer before, his agent BJ Armstrong calls him and says, you know, it's time for your extension. You can get $100 million. But if you take $80 million, this guy would be a free agent next summer. That guy was Kevin Durant. Yeah. Draymond took the money a year, you know, a whole year before Kevin Durant even became a free agent. They set themselves up to get that guy.
Absolutely, absolutely. Again, we're talking to Tobias Bass from the Opinionated Six Man Podcast, switching gears a little bit to Phoenix. And Chris Paul has been traded to the Phoenix Suns. So, Tobias, we talked about a little bit off air. You think that the Phoenix Suns have the cap space to make some more moves. Just explain that a little bit more for the folks at home.
Yeah, no, with them getting rid of Rubio's contract, Kelly Oubre's contract, Aaron Baines is a free agent this summer as well. They got rid of Luke Hughes, they got rid of Ty Jerome. They're going to have room to sign another, you know, decent to average free agent. I'm looking at guys like Jeremy Grant, Nilo Gallinari, Bertan from the Wizards. Their only, you know, missing spot right now is the four. You're looking at Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Mikal Bridges, and DeAndre Ayton at the five. The only position that they're really needing to put there is another four. So I'm looking to see if they can try to add in a Jeremy Grant or Danilo Gallinari. Maybe Bertans might be out their price range, but that's someone, you know, they could look at. So it'll be interesting what they do over the next couple of days. Then they still have the ninth pick. You know, maybe they could go point guard with Tyrese Halliburton and Kyra Lewis, or they can go get a power forward from Florida State, Patrick Williams. It'll be interesting to see what they do.
I totally agree, Tobias. I mean, my thing with – I like the Chris Paul deal. Phoenix needs to get back in the playoffs. I think it's been almost a decade since they've been in the playoffs. But I think, you know, if you brought up an interesting point. If they take a point guard, Chris Paul can kind of serve as that mentor leader.
Right.
And for that guy to learn the point guard role, because they still need a point guard for the future.
Right.
You know, like Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton shouldn't be going anywhere anytime soon. I think this move puts them as a fifth seed, and I think people should have DeAndre Ayton as the favorite to win Most Improved Player.
Yeah, I like what you said. I think that they definitely wanted a point guard going for the future. I think Chris Paul, you know, what he was able to do last year with the Thunder, he, you know, how much better did Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's game go to another level right. when Chris Paul was there? You know, Dennis Schroeder played a lot better. You know, Dylan Allegari had one of the best, you know, seasons of his career. Chris Paul, you know, a lot of people were making fun of him because he played, you know, he got injured with the Rockets and they thought that he was over. But his ability to be a mentor and, a teacher of young guards really, you know, show teams how valuable he was. I think that's one reason why the Rockets are going to have such a hard time trading Russ, is because if you part him with a young team, I don't know how good of a leadership skill Russ has to lead or help mentor a younger guy. That's why I think teams like the Knicks, they're not going to be, you know, a team. I don't want him in that locker room trying to teach RJ Barrett nothing. You know, I don't want him teaching them nothing. I don't need him to go to Charlotte and teach, you know, Malik Monk nothing. You know, you can keep his ass in Houston where he's been. I don't need him teaching those guys anything. So I think it's going to be tough for them to trade guys like this.
We're going to switch gears here to the defending NBA champion Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers have been rumored to be in the market for a guy like a DeMar DeRozan or another third star. So, Tobias, what do you think a guy like DeMar DeRozan would be able to bring to the L.A. Lakers as the three guy behind AD and LeBron James?
Well, today, did he opt in today, right?
He opted in.
He opted in his contract. Opted in.
So what I want to see is, I think he's going to get moved. That's what they must have told him, you know what, DeMar, we know you want to leave, just opt into your contract and we'll let you pick where you want to go. That's where I think that was, that him just leaving free. I mean, how much is he making this year?
$27 million.
Yeah, he'd be a damn fool not to opt into that. So I think he made the right decision, not only selfishly for himself, but I also think he made the right decision for his Spurs perspective, because they could try to go ahead and move him for something. But if he was to go to the Lakers, I mean, he would bring definitely the ball handle. He's a 6'7", you know, crafty ball handle that can create. I just don't like that he can't shoot. Not only can he not shoot, he does not shoot three. So I want to see what LeBron does with him. Maybe he could use him as like a slashing three. But LeBron plays well with shooting. I don't know how he would. I'm sure he would find a role and fit, but they're going to have to add some shooting around LeBron.
So I kind of forgot all about that trade ever since the Dennis Schroeder trade. I kind of put it on the back burner, I guess, but if they are somehow still able to pull that off, I don't know if they would be able to. You know, we going back to back. We going back to back either way. But what you got to say?
He's super talented, but I mean, he's obviously better than KCP. He's damn sure better than Danny Green. He would definitely be their third best player on the team. Mm-hmm. I just want to see where the shooting is coming from. Maybe they go out and sign somebody, and this is not even a question anymore. It's just when you have a DeMar DeRozan, you see how LeBron used to guard him in the playoff. He would literally guard him at the free throw line, and I know teams know that. So when you swing it, at least KCP is going to attempt to shoot three. DeMar DeRozan doesn't shoot threes at all. He's in his 30s, so it's not like he's going to learn how to shoot overnight. So I want to see what do they do with it, even if they're able to get Schroeder as well. Schroeder is not a knockdown shooter. He can make shots, but he's more of a slasher. He gets in the lane and shoots a lot of floaters. So especially with the Warriors coming back, and, you know, a lot of teams are shooting threes so often, I want to see what they're going to do around that big 3.4 to help them shoot three. Maybe they can get rid of Kuzma. I don't know what market value Kuzma has. I don't know what he has. I mean, who knows? Maybe he gets better. You know, he deleted his Twitter today because fans have been bullying him all year. So maybe he gets better in offseason. I don't know. That's up to him. But I don't know where the shooting's coming from.
So I'll just speak on the Dennis Schroeder one, because it seems like that's the one that we have right now for sure. I think Dennis helps us out tremendously. He gives us the third score that we needed last year. Yep. He averaged 19 for the Thunder. Obviously, he's not as smart as Rondo was. Rondo played a big role in us winning the championship. We probably wouldn't have won without him. But Dennis gives us a guy that when LeBron is on the bench, he's another ball handler. He can create for himself and others. And that was something that we were missing. We were kind of, you know, most of the season asking Avery Bradley to be that third guy. But, you know, like you said, Dennis is a slasher. He's quick. He can operate in pick and rolls. He's a better shooter than Rondo, so you have to respect it.
For sure.
And I think in transition, they'll be dead. But if we get DeMar, I picture more of it. Like, I think he would have to work with a second unit a lot more.
Yeah,
I don't know about coming off the bench, but maybe just taking most of that second unit, handling the ball, picking rolls, getting downhill, surrounding him with shooters, and then just closing the game with LeBron, DeRozan, the AD, and maybe you have some shooters. Maybe you get like a Boogie Cousins. Like, I feel like if you get a guy like
DeMar, Lord.
Yeah, if you get a guy like DeMar, you can't bring back JaVale and Dwight. The spacing is just going to be awful.
Absolutely, absolutely. Tobias, as we get near draft day on Wednesday evening this year, what trades do you think could definitely alter the impact of the draft? Do you see any contenders making moves up into the draft?
I think you can see the Celtics. Celtics have three first-round picks. I think they want to try to see if they can crack into the top 10. You might see them literally give a team all three first-round picks in a you know, a role player that doesn't really play a ton of minutes to see if they can move into the top 10. This draft isn't the strongest, so I think teams would be open to, you know, let's say just love a guy. I could see a team giving up a top 10 pick per se. The Hawks aren't a contender, but I think I'll have definitely have my eyes on them. At the 6th pick, I think they're going to try to move around as well. The Warriors are going to definitely try to do it. They have the number 2 overall pick and they have a contract like Wiggins, who's he's talented. And he, I mean, with Wiggins, he's still 25. You know, he hasn't lived up to the number 1 overall, you know, draft pick he was a few years ago, but he still averages 17 to 18 a game over his career, and he's 25. And you package that with the 2nd overall pick in the draft, and depending on how the draft falls, you could be looking at LaMelo Ball or Anthony Edwards at that number 2 spot. If you're a bad team or a team that really, you know, likes one of those guys, you know, I could see a team, you know, moving up and trying to get one of them. It'll probably be a team that, you know, needs help, but I could see a team moving up to get them. So those are probably the three teams I'm looking to see what they'll do in the far as trading the Hawks, the Warriors, and the Celtics.
Yeah, you know, Celtics always have these draft picks, yeah. And, you know, there's always rumor that they can make a move or make a big splash, and most of the time they just stand pat, man, and that's the thing that irks me about Celtics fans, because they love that they have all these assets, but they never use it for anything big.
Well, you think about all the draft picks they've accumulated, okay, they drafted Jaylen Brown, he's a very good pick, they drafted Jason Tatum, he's an upcoming superstar. Right. The rest of those picks...
Yes.
They really haven't amounted to anyone. You know, one, just because they're, you know, they're late lottery. They're not outside the lottery. I mean, they're late, you know, they're in the 20s. And, you know, because the Nets got good randomly and that kind of hurt them. But those picks really haven't, you know, they've kind of just been drafting players, if that makes sense. They just been stashing them and, you know, just keeping them wherever they've been. They haven't really amounted to anything. So I think this is the year where I can see them, you know, the draft is, it's iffy, you know. I think there's more role players and superstars in this class. Mm-hmm. But if you can, you know, if let's say whoever's at 10, you know, like I don't know if the Knicks would do it. The Knicks are awful. But maybe a team around, you know, 10, 11, 12, they'll just like, you know what, we don't really like anyone at 12. We'll take all three of your first round picks. We're a young up and coming team. We'll give you 11 or 12. You go ahead and get who you wanted. We'll just fall back in the draft and just draft 3 young guys and see which one pops.
Right. This draft is going to be interesting. I was telling Alex earlier, I think it's going to be a big move. There's so much uncertainty going around, you know, with all the picks and all these teams. Drew Holiday, I don't know. I feel like it might be a big trade, you know, come draft night.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a conversation. Things are being talked about. It's just, you know, you gotta just see what you can get the best for, because like I said, Drew Holiday, he's a hot commodity right now, but right. You know, certain assets that the Pelicans will want, they're untouchable. You know, Lauri Markkanen, untouchable. Michael Porter Jr. is untouchable. So those are guys I feel like they would be interested in, but they can't get them. Then, you know, they still have to re-sign Ingram. They Lonzo Ball, you know, he's just signed with Clutch. And Clutch, you know how they get down. They don't, you know, Rich Paul doesn't play games. If they don't extend the offer in the next couple of weeks, there's going to be beef. Mm-hmm. You already know it's going to be beefing. In the Pelicans, they already probably feel a little butthurt, use a lack of a better word, because of how Anthony Davis did them a year ago with Clutch. So they also have to re-sign Josh Hart in a year. So they have things to do. Derek Favors is a free agent. J.J. Redick is a free agent next year as well. Drew Holiday is a free agent next year as well. So, you know, a big part of their roster are currently free agents this year or next year. So they have things to do.
And, you know, they said that they weren't going to trade them to any – they wanted to trade them to an Eastern Conference team. Yeah. Keep them in the West. But I've heard that every team has inquired about Drew Holiday, every other team.
Believe it.
And I'm a firm believer. I've said this for about a month and a half now. I think the Knicks should trade Mitchell Robinson and what they have, the 8th pick.
Yep.
Just, it's 8th and 9th.
They should trade their pick and Mitchell Robinson for the Warriors' 2nd pick and take LaMelo. I want LaMelo in New York.
That would be interesting. That would definitely give them some pop. Lord knows they need it. Exactly. The first thing to get rid of Dolan, that's the first thing they need to do.
Right.
But I think that would be fair. What I wanted the Warriors to do, I wanted the Warriors to give up Wiggins, the number two pick, trade that to get Jrue Holiday and swap with the Pelicans pick. That's what I wanted to see the Warriors do. I like to see them have a Curry, Jrue Holiday, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, like making your draft whoever they want at that particular spot. But that's what I wanted to see the Warriors. I highly doubt that's going to happen. But the Melo being in New York would give them some buzz. The Melo, I don't know, I'm not a big fan of RJ Barrett, but that would be a nice little young duo.
And it, I mean, it gives the Warriors a big man that they need, and they still get a top 10 pick.
I want to see how dedicated and committed is Robinson committed to winning. Because he's been on a losing team for a couple of years. Not only was he on a losing team, but Knicks, they don't play him that many minutes. It's like one of the biggest mysteries in the NBA. They don't play him that many minutes at all. I don't even think it's due to a conditioning issue. I just think it's due to just bad time management. And, you know, last year they signed every role-playing power forward in the league.
Yep.
So I think it's just a time management issue, which is bad culture, but – I would want to see how dedicated was he willing to go into a Warriors locker room? Because they operate differently. They have a championship coach. You just can't come in there and just, you know, be used to losing. These guys winning. The Warriors are old. People aren't talking about that. The Warriors aren't young anymore. They aren't the young Splash Brothers anymore. All of them are 30. Right. They'll be 33 years old this year. They're old.
Dang.
As we're wrapping up this segment, Tobias, let the folks know about your podcast, The Opinionated Six Man, where they can find you, the type of folks you interview, in the whole nine yards.
The Opinionated Six Man podcast can be found on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. I just had an interview, I think 2 or 3 days ago, with former Cleveland Brown head coach Hugh Jackson. We talked about, you know, his time in Cleveland, you know, what went wrong. We talked about the Ravens and the issues they have on the offense and why they've been struggling over the last couple of years. You talked about the rookie quarterbacks, which ones he thinks will be the best in the next 5 to 10 years. The Dolphins, are the Dolphins really legit? And why is it so hard for black offensive coordinators to get jobs in the NFL? So it was a good podcast. I'm going to be bringing on a bunch of other guests. Tomorrow I'm bringing on Andrew Lopez. He's ESPN Pelican reporter. We're going to be talking about free agency, NBA trades, and all the moves that the Pelicans are going to be making.
All right, man, that sounds good. Now, I do have one more question. When are me and Kennedy Miller going to be on the damn Opinionated Six-Man podcast? That's right. All I need to know. You bringing in all these, you know, nice guests. You know, that's what's up. That's cool. What's up with us, though?
No, y'all can go, okay, what's today? I can bring you guys on next week. After the draft, everything gets settled, I'll bring you guys on next week, and we can talk about some NFL. I know Kennedy doesn't really want to talk about the NFL.
Oh, yeah,
because this team is terrible, but we can talk about the NFL. We can talk about free agency should be about done at that point. So we should be able to talk about NFL and NBA free agency, what the teams look like going forward.
All right, man. That sounds like a plan, Tobias. Before we get out of here, let the folks know where they can find you on Twitter.
I'm on Twitter at Tobias_Bass. That's TOBIAS_Bass, like the fish. I'm going to be posting all types of NBA free agency updates, trades, and salary cap numbers as well.
All right. Don't go anywhere, everybody. This is the Game Plan Podcast. We'll be back with our final segment. We're picking next week's games on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Kennedy Miller.
Yes, sir.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at _KennedyMiller_Kennedy, as in the former president, John F., and the former wrestler, Mr. Kennedy, _KennedyMiller_.
All right. Got to thank our friend Tobias Bass from the Opinionated Six-Man Podcast for joining us. But right now, as we are running out of time, we have to pick these games. Kennedy Miller, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Starting things off, Thursday night football. Arizona Cardinals coming off that miraculous Hail Mary catch by DeAndre Hopkins. They are traveling to Seattle to play the Seahawks. Kennedy Miller, who you got?
I got the Cardinals, man. The Seahawks have been reeling. Their defense is atrocious this year, even with the addition of Jamal Adams. These Cardinals are legit, man. Shout out to Bill O'Brien for the great trade that he made.
Man, first of all, Bill O'Brien, him. Continue.
So, You know, the Cardinals are one of the best young teams in football, man. Kyler Murray is a great quarterback. He's in the MVP conversation. I think the Cardinals are going to pull this one out.
I have to disagree with you a little bit there. I think though Seattle's been struggling a lot. Jamal Adams has been injured. You know, they've had some problems, you know, defensively, clearly. But I think Seattle's a team that's well coached, has championship pedigree. You know, they've been here before. You know, they've dealt with these sorts of skids before. Russell Wilson didn't play very well when they yesterday against the Rams, but I think they're going to be able to figure something out and equal it out against a very talented and a very hot Arizona Cardinals team. Moving on to the Atlanta Falcons versus the New Orleans Saints. And there's only one reason I'm picking this game. It's because our favorite backup quarterback, Kennedy Miller, he's getting a chance to shine. Jameis Winston.
Famous Jameis. I think the Saints are going to win. Jameis has finally got his eyes fixed. He's going to get a full game to play. I'm excited to see it, man.
If you want to win, put Jameis in. The only thing I don't want to see is him eat that W again. That's the ugliest and most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. And he keeps trying to make it work.
You know, it seems like he hasn't been the same since he did that the first time. Like, he just ain't been all the way right since he did that. Everybody's like, hey, yo, man, like, what you doing, fam?
Look, man, the wild thing about Jameis is, you know how they say, got a bag and fix my teeth?
Mm-hmm.
Finally, Jameis has got another bag and fixed his eyes, even though he should have fixed his eyes a long damn time ago.
Long time.
Moving on. Tennessee at Baltimore. Who you got?
I think Baltimore is going to win. Tennessee's been really up and down. You know, they started the year really well. Then they went on like a two-game losing streak. And, you know, their defense isn't that good. Baltimore, I think, has maybe the best roster in football. And I think Lamar Jackson and company are going to be too good for Tennessee.
I'm going to go with you. I'm going to agree with you there as well. I think Baltimore at home is going to be tough to beat, even though Tennessee has a horse of a running back named Derrick Henry. And quiet as it's kept, they are one of the most well-coached teams in the league behind Mike Vrabel. Like, as much flack as I gave Tennessee for giving Mike Vrabel that job, given that last year Vrabel was the defensive coordinator of the Texans were like in the bottom five in total defense, yards allowed, all those other metrics, he's going to Tennessee and put together a very, very well-coached and solid football team. However, I still think Baltimore and Harbaugh gets it done. Moving on, Kennedy Miller, to your team. America's team, apparently. What was all of that about, Kennedy Miller? Why aren't you? You're always excited to talk about the Dallas Cowboys. What?
Vikings by 15.
You don't even want to get the Cowboys a shot.
Since we're on the podcast, Alex, we got breaking news.
Hold on. What's up?
Rockets are trading Robert Covington to the Blazers for Trevor Ariza, the number 16 pick, and a 2021 protected first.
Whoa! Run that. Hold on. Say that one more time to make sure we got that again. We can just stop what we're doing right now. Say that one more time.
The Rockets are trading Robert Covington, who they just acquired midseason last year, to Portland for Trevor Ariza. So Trevor Ariza's coming back to Houston.
Okay.
Number 16 pick and a 2021 protected first.
Look at the Rockets getting some assets back. Look at them. See, you don't have to bottom out to rebuild. I think that's a pretty good deal for the Houston Rockets. I really do.
That's a good deal for both sides.
Yeah, and I think with Portland, thinking about it off the top of my head, that gives them a wing.
A wing.
Gives them a good wing.
A 3-and-D wing.
I don't know if they're going to bring back Carmelo Anthony or not, but you still got Nurkic, you still got Whiteside, and that will be able to help you with those two undersized guards you have. So I think they, like, man, Portland, that's another one that's a sneaky good roster.
That's actually one that makes them better.
And they're still going to have Gary Trent. They're still going to have Gary Trent, right?
That makes them a lot better.
Man, like, that's a good move for both. Very good move for both sides, really.
And,
I like that.
Drew Holiday got traded to the Bucks.
Hold on. Drew Holiday to the Bucks for what? Talk to me.
Eric Bledsoe, George Hill, and draft compensation.
Okay. Point guard, shot creator, not bad.
Shout out to Coach Troy Coleman. He called it. He's a really big Bucks fan. He wanted them to get him. He thinks that makes them favorites during the championship. I'm excited that he'll be excited now.
Wow, two big ones. That's stopped me dead in my tracks. Are there any other moves before we keep going?
Not that I know of right now.
If there's another big move, Kennedy Miller, feel free to stop me. The next game on our list, we have the Kansas City Chiefs against the Las Vegas Raiders. Kennedy Miller, who are you going to go with?
Going with the Chiefs. The Raiders got them the first time. I think the Chiefs get their revenge and they beat their division rival, but I think it'll be a great game. The Raiders are surprised me, man. I mean, you know, last year they were pretty good, but you know what? I think they're 6-3, 7-3 now. Mm-hmm. Man, I'm impressed by them, especially in a tough division like that.
I'm going to agree with you there. I'm going to go with the Chiefs as well. I think it's very difficult to beat a team twice.
Right.
Right. And given that Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy and that entire staff, they are really great about making adjustments, coming up with new looks, new wrinkles to put their players in good positions and to really scheme them open. I don't think any other coach or coaching staff in the league schemes their players open as well as Andy Reid does. So I think Kansas City gets it done on the road in Vegas. Our last matchup, the Los Angeles Rams travel to Tampa to take on Tom Brady, Antonio Brown, and the Buccaneers. Ken, who you got?
I am going to go with Tampa Bay. Besides that debacle in New Orleans, I think they're starting to figure out who they are. As long as they keep running the ball, they have a really solid front seven on their defense. They've got a bunch of weapons for Tom Brady. He just has to get it in the vicinity. And if you keep AB in check off the field, and you get a fully productive Antonio Brown with Mike Evans, with Chris Godwin, with Ronald Jones, with Leonard Fournette, with Cameron Brate, with Gronk, it's not many teams that have more weapons than that.
I definitely agree with you there. However, I'm going to disagree with you on the prediction. I'm going to go with the Rams, and that's for two reasons. Number one, I think when you're facing a great quarterback – like a Brady or a Mahomes or a Peyton Manning when he was still in the league, you had to be able to get there with just four guys, right?
That's true.
The Bears,
they can, yeah.
I think with Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd, some of the other guys that they've got up front, Dante Fowler, they mm-hmm. can get there with just four guys. And we can put everybody else back in coverage. You've got Jalen Ramsey out there. You've got a good group. So I think that's part of it. And the other part of it is Tampa Bay has been inconsistent at points. We saw the way they looked last weekend against New Orleans, right? Couldn't get out of first gear, abandoned the running game, and it just went left. We saw they looked much
– four times.
Yeah. A record for the least amount of times running the football.
Right.
This past week, put up 47 points against the Carolina Panthers. So that's one of the curses of having all this talent. You have to be able to figure out a way to use everyone and keep everybody involved and keep everyone invested. Keep all those backs invested. You know, it's figure out what you're going to do with Antonio Brown. Where are you going to put him? Right? So I think they're still trying to figure it out, work out all those kinks, and mainly because defensively with Aaron Donald, Fowler, and Floyd, I think the Rams get it done. Field goal game, 23-20, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Okay.
But, Kennedy Miller, we are out of time for this evening. And before I ask you for your Twitter name, are there any other breaking news NBA trades that we have?
Not that I know of. I just know my phone was going off, so I went to check because I'm in an NBA group chat and it's a bunch of Rockets fans and they're pissed because they're about to lose Robert Covington. But
matter of fact, we got to jump in that group message. We got to see how Shoe's doing. Shout out to Shoe.
Got to see how she was doing. That's right.
Because, matter of fact, I'm going to have to send a bottle of, like, Crown or something down to Shoe personally just as, you know, as a care package to him. Because I can't imagine he's doing well right now with these James Harden trade negotiations going on.
Absolutely. He's sick. I know he's sick.
But, Kennedy, man, let the folks know where they can find you on Twitter, your other social media platforms, if you feel like you want to give that out. whole nine yards. What is it?
Underscore Kennedy Miller underscore. Again, underscore Kennedy. It's in the former president, John F., and the former wrestler, Mr. Kennedy, underscore Kennedy Miller underscore.
All right, all right. You can find me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Follow the show on Twitter, Game Plan TSM. That's T as in Tom, S as in Sarah, M as in Mother. We appreciate you guys for joining us. This has been the Game Plan Podcast. For Kennedy Miller, my name is Alex Goodwin. We will see you guys next time.